Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
Tools down.
That's it. What a week it's been.
Radio on.
You don't want to miss this.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
That is an absolute ripper.
Here we go.
This is the Friday Huddle for Remote Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
It's a rather wet MCG for what is going to be a huge game. Traditional rivals, Collingwood flying, Richmond there or thereabouts. Enormous at the MCG. The rain may hurt the crowd a lot. You'd still expect plenty of people to be rolling into the MCG. The Dogs are getting it done last night over Brisbane. Guests, we got them. Jacob Hopper, former Giant, now Tiger, to join us. Craig Kelly, the new CEO of the Collingwood Football Club. Chiefs quiz, Nace top five. A lot to get through, and I look across to the captain of the team who's got a smile on his face after his Dogs had a win. Hello to you, Das.
Good to see you, Howie, and excited to be here at the MCG tonight. I genuinely enjoy watching Collingwood play. They are a compelling side to watch, and there's a little bit happening on the Friday Huddle as well. Something that I need to bring to the table.
And Chiefy's here, looking resplendent as always. Hello, Chieftain. How was your week?
It was good. I had to sit through a mediocre game to the eye last night, although it was the win that the Bulldogs really needed to have, and you got to give them full marks for grinding it out, because that really is the sort of win that can kickstart a season for them. But it wasn't great to watch, Howie, and I was hoping for a much better one tonight, and now we've got rain coming down. But I still think we've got a couple of real classy teams going out, and I'm like Duke. I don't think you could find anyone that would say there's a better team to watch than Collingwood.
Damo's here as always. How was your week, great man?
Yeah, it was okay, Howie. I was at a funeral today for Ron Joseph, one of the all-time great administrators of the game. And it was a lovely send-off for him with all the famous North Melbourne people in attendance. And it was a lovely service and one that was slightly irreverent, like a lot of North Melbourne and Ron Joseph matters were over the journey, but they did it really well. And then I get to the MCG, Howie, and drama outside, only moments ago. I've just been told this. I'm having information relayed to me that the chief executive officer of the Collingwood Football Club, Craig Kelly, I'm still just piecing this together, was initially denied entry to the stadium today.
Oh, that would
Do they not
well.
Know who they're dealing with?
Well, I think they were made aware reasonably quickly upon being told he wasn't coming in. What I have been told, it actually wasn't his fault, and I don't think it was an okay explanation.
Now,
no, he was denied entry. The story's right. It's just that reasoning for it will need to be explained.
Those who don't know Craig Kelly, he has a direct way of communicating, Damo, so I would have thought that...
But the only way, Duke, that you get denied entry is if you don't have the proper accreditation.
That's right.
Well, he was told, quote, "You're not getting in," to which he then took a little bit of amusement to, and head of security was called down. And again, I have pieced this together as best I can in the short time frame in which I've had the information. I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he was absolutely innocent, and I think there was an explanation for why he was initially told not to.
Could there be more to this story, Damo? And I'm going to put a bit of a news hat on, because Collingwood and the MCC
I hadn't thought of that.
Very tough negotiations around the
seats.
Seating. I think Stewie Fox, the CEO, the big bald-headed bloke that's trying to come in, cancel him out of the state.
So head of security came down and it was all sorted out, and I believe he's just got through only moments ago.
Well, he will have stayed very calm. He can tell us about that at 20 past 7. Look forward to that. And then I look at your little mate, Nath, who looks better than ever, and he's got an extremely short haircut. Now, 2 years ago, I don't think he would have the confidence to do that. But now, because he's got such thick, lustrous hair.
And the Botox helps him decision to go with a short hair.
Like, and his face, too, gives
that's right.
extra belief.
You've gone the zero. You must have tremendous confidence in the grow back.
It's a zero on the sides, and it's a fade up to a one on top, and then just a little bit of a ruffle. But I'm super happy. It's been a great week, and I get to come in here and watch a great game of football and with you blokes, and your arms are looking better than ever. Look, Darcy, you called better than I've ever heard you call last night. Chief's come back from overseas in love and telling us how much he loves us. Not in love, but how much he loves us on a text message.
Not in love.
Yeah, clarify that.
I'm not sure I would have gone the zero on the side of your head.
And
what you have
Damo's
done,
come out. He started to wear the pants again.
What you have done is you've unearthed this growth. But if you look at closely on the left side of your head, it's actually pulsating.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you should get that checked out or not. But
there is a blemish there.
I don't know which head to look at.
I think it's just a mole.
It's bigger than a mile. Not that we want to make a mountain out of a mile.
You just put him back in his box. He's bounded in today.
I'm
he's
happy.
Never,
come
he's
on. Can't bring me down, Duke. He's up.
Have there been any, your face is shining.
Yeah. Just a bit of moisturiser.
It's smooth, too, across the forehead region.
There are wrinkles everywhere. I don't know why you clowns continue to go on with this. Well, I'm just lucky to look as young as I do.
Wayne Carey last year told us that you told him you were...
Duck can't move his face.
So he's got a fair idea.
He knows what to look for when he sees someone else doing it.
If you're happy, I'm happy.
That's
now,
it.
Often in the first segment.
Well, how can you tell? I mean, the face doesn't change. You wouldn't know if he's not happy, Howie. He's looking immaculate.
You could screen a movie on that forehead that Nate's got at the moment without any
fantastic.
Issues.
You look fantastic. We'll speak about Jamara Uwehagen and all the footy in the second segment. But traditionally at this stage, we have a bit of a laugh about who's been what. And they're beating up to during the week. Damo.
Yes.
Because you live such a boring life.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I deliberately lead it that way to try and stay out of the contents of this first segment.
Well, and there is never anything about you, but I love your podcast that you do with Hutchie, The Sounding Board. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fantastic, it is my favourite podcast. You had this to say in your latest episode.
So Luke Darcy, who hosts Saturday Night Footy from opposition team rooms.
Has he definitely been in opposition team rooms?
100%.
Well, I don't think he should be.
You think you should be banned?
Yes.
From other clubs?
I'll tell you what, if I'm the CEO of that club in question, and I know that that's happening, a director of another club is coming into my rooms, I'm saying, sorry, mate, out.
Oh, out. Out.
That was, on the back of the Daisy Pierce situation, Howie, and I have zero issue with any football club saying to Channel 7 that Daisy's not coming because she's an assistant coach of another club.
So you don't think Darce... As the director of the Bulldogs, should be allowed into opposition club rooms.
If I was a CEO or a coach of a club, I wouldn't be letting anyone in my room who has an official...
What can they possibly find out?
Anything, Brownie. And people say you don't see much. I've been into rooms a lot over the journey. You don't necessarily pick up stuff that you're going to use straight away, but you see a lot of things in a room that you can use.
Like what? What have you seen that you would... take back.
You see conversations. So, you can see techniques. You can see what happens up behind the scenes. You're looking at the camera. You're not seeing behind you. But no, I would. I don't even think what I'm saying there's a massive issue. It's not personal.
It's an issue for us.
Oh, it's not an issue for me at all.
I'm with Damo. Why should you allow them in? Because clubs do things differently. And you might just pick up a little bit of IP, a little bit of intel, saying, well,
and you store it away. You often store stuff away. As media people, as I'd imagine working for a club, you'd see something and we'll use that next time we play
might
them.
See a,
we
might come see from a player an getting an injury treated
a little
that no
bit of
one
that.
Knows about.
Yep.
We come from the Grand Prix sold out this weekend.
Yes.
And it's got a female audience. It's gone from 0 to 50% on the back of a thing called Drive to Survive on Netflix, where that is a multi-billion-dollar international exercise.
I'm with you, mate.
And they tell their stories now more intimately. They open up their team captains and their team drivers to growth. So, I'm open to the conversation, but I'm fascinated in the media space that we want to go the other way. I laugh because we used to do closed sessions in our era. It's funny. We get security around the outside.
Don't confuse this with an access issue.
No.
It's a conflict issue with people involved in it. The access is a separate issue to people having access to it.
Was making a separate point, about closed sessions and just how we. I would love to have a pop quiz of the... our own teammates trying to explain what the closed session was about, let alone someone looking over the fence, taking that to an opposition club and then using that. I used to find...
So you think you're fine going in the rooms?
I'm open to whatever clubs
what,
are.
What would
I
you take... say if one of the clubs said no?
I found no problems at all.
Well, there'd be no one left. You can't go in.
Just don't see what Darce can access.
I'm with you.
That is going to help the opposition the next
I'm
week.
You,
we were standing there... interview and some coaches, a lot of coaches like inviting you down because then you get an opportunity to tell the story of what the club's trying to achieve in a better way. So I think it's the club's loss if they have people who can tell the story better. And that's Coach Bob. I totally respect.
And you are a Bulldog hater though, Damien.
No, no. Well, Nathan, the conversation was about Daisy Pierce. And again, Daisy's conflict in this conversation, in my eyes, is elevated because of it's an assistant coach's role, not a director.
But Damo, you do have an issue with the Bulldogs.
I love
the Sunday footy show and I love when people stick to their roles, but you tried to do some funny stuff 2 weeks ago when you went with Luke Beveridge and his teeth.
Yep.
That he'd had his teeth done. Mm. I thought that was inappropriate, Darce.
Has he had them done?
I thought it was stoking a fire. But from what I've been told, there was some blowback.
Towards
the Nine Network.
No, this is about 2 weeks old, Howie, and there wasn't the blowback.
So you're telling me, because I've been told...
But this has been broadcast too, by the way, Howie, about 2 weeks ago.
I've been told, Damo, that it was a Channel 9 reporter.
Yeah. Braden Ingram is the name of the reporter.
Is this true that he was...
But as often is the case, there's the truth in the middle somewhere as to why a conversation may have been had with Braden.
Was there a conversation that there was a closed session and he was in a cafe area and they asked him to leave and uttered...
But I think the key phrase there, it was a closed session.
Uttered no the words media word. After especially what your network... did to our coach when you went with the teeth gag.
I too have heard that version of events, yes.
Yep. So then you bring the rest of us down.
Yeah.
You said it was the funniest thing you've seen.
It was.
I saw it. It wasn't funny.
Now, Sam Darcy came on the handball segment last week, and I didn't ask the question, but TJ did, and he thought it was very funny. Not what I did, but he thought it was very funny, and I think he had a good lighthearted joke about it.
He's got a great sense of humour.
Found his way out of the side.
We love it. Actually, he did too.
Quick fashion.
Are you giving your coach a makeover, Duke?
That would not be my remit, I would have thought. Chief, I think we're a bit bigger than our industry around talking about senior coaches' haircuts or demeanor. I would have
just had a chat about Nate's haircut.
But that's Nate. He's not as different level of insanity.
Sort of make it boring, but we talk about someone's teeth on our show every single week, and it was just a teeth theme.
And it came back on the network. Talking about boring.
Yep.
I was also told our man here went and did what was described to the students at St. Kevin's as a 5 to 10 minute discussion at a writer's symposium. And Damo turns up, Chief, and spoke for 52 minutes.
52 minutes.
52 minutes.
Did you outstay your welcome?
No. I was asked to speak for 55 minutes.
Get some of those techniques out?
Yes, got it all out.
In a writer's symposium.
It was a writer's symposium. Your mail actually on that one is correct.
My mail on both is correct.
Well, with all due respect, Damo's done a lot of writing over the years. Great career in journalism, so he would be well versed in chatting about that.
What did you give them, and at what stage of your 52 minutes did they start to drift off?
There was a period of the second presentation.
Oh, you did it twice.
Well, there were three of us talking, and there were lots of groups, and we each had to speak twice. And they're, again, to your point, Howard, there was a period late in the second presentation. I was wondering, is anyone still with me?
We're in a world now of TikTok where the average attention span is about 28 seconds.
Yeah.
Is the reason. Research, 52-minute Damien Barrett masterclass on handwriting. Ain't going to be that well-received, Damo.
I had him in the palm of the hands to ask for 35 minutes, but maybe the last one.
I reckon you might have overstayed your time there. Have we got time, Howie? I saw something extraordinary this week, Chief, which I think needs mention. I was in a Triple M headquarters and just humbly going about my business, Chief, as I like to do, recording a couple of podcasts. Radek Sally, who's one of the founders of Swiss Vitamins, one of the great entrepreneurs in our time. Sold
Which
that
podcast is this?
$1.7 billion, Empowering Leaders. You can check in and listen to Radek. And I had Mick Doohan, who's in town for the Grand Prix, said, I'll come and join you in at Triple M headquarters, which is a ripper to have Mick and his beautiful wife, Selena, came along as well. So I'm just sitting in there with Joey, my man, on the recording back-to-back podcast. So you put your head down and I hear some commotion outside the studio. You can tell there's a bit of distress going on. You think there's something happening. Yep. So I put my head out and I introduced myself to a young man I'd met named Tommy. He used to work at Fox Footy. He's left Fox Footy to join...
Tommy Dallard.
Great fella.
Oh, no, Tommy. Yep.
Ripper bloke, Tommy.
Yep.
He's gone...
Good operator.
...as one of a dozen to join the Mark Howard...
He still does bits and pieces at Fox, but yeah.
But he looks distressed and he says how he's thrown a showbiz tantrum, and he said, I tried to advise him out of they had a chance to interview the Shark, Greg Norman, which is extraordinary.
Big get, Howie. Big get.
Big get if he turns up. Not such a big get if he doesn't front. And so, and Howie's he's got his head down, he's laughing. No. But the thing is, Tommy said, mate, we don't promote until you've got the recording in the can. Howie goes, mate, when I get a guest in, they front up, and the Shark will be on air. So they've promoted the hell out of the Shark coming up. The Shark's nowhere to be seen, untouchable, out of reach. So there is a mad scramble on the production team. How do we fill the void of the day?
No, don't start lying.
Look you in the eye.
You're pretty close.
No, 100%
Boris Becker one.
So I go back in, catch up with McDoan, do the empowering, and I hear this. Oh, great! Now we've landed someone on late notice. We're going to get a guest to come into the studio to fill the void for McDoan. I sort of pop my head out.
You're lying now.
You're 100%. Don't you deny this?
And you would have got a big F1 character or something. I mean, there's some great celebrities in town. Who do
so,
you
get? Tommy and the kind of excited and say Dylan Buckley's your guest
star
this week on the and now this is 100%. I well done, Howie, quote unquote, and on my family's life says that is not up to the standard.
That's not up to the standard.
You're lying. 100%. Did you not say we're scraping the bottom of the barrel?
I did not say that.
Howie, he's swearing on his family.
100%,
Howie. Tell you the truth if you're interested.
Clowns aren't typically interested in the truth. 100% what you said.
Dylan Buckley.
And I took great exception to that.
You're threatened by Dylan.
My only conclusion was you are a tall Howie.
And threatened by Dylan.
Getting very defensive, Howie.
We had a situation where Tommy said, I don't think you should look on your face at the moment, Howie. I agree with you.
He's not looking anyone in the eye.
We had a situation, and I said to Tommy, I'm pretty confident we'll get the shark, and we'll promo him in the Cameron Smith episode. And Tommy's like, no, we shouldn't promo him. I said, no, I'll be right. So we promoted him.
I covered that.
Things have slowed down a bit. I rang Dylan, and I said, Dill, I'm in a tight spot here as the number one podcast man in Melbourne. Could you come on the show? I wanted to get you on in the middle of the year. He said, I'd love to help you out. So that is, you can't denigrate Dill. He is a superstar.
I'm not denigrating him at all.
Who called the number one podcast man in Melbourne?
Dylan Buckley. He's a star.
Are you not the number one man?
No, he is. He's better than me.
He's had a tough week, Howard.
Has your podcast gone off the... You've lost your mantle at the top, have you?
Have you?
Well, he's equal number one.
Well, people are taking pot shots everywhere at the moment, Chief.
Is that right?
We saw Dylan Leach have a go at Howie on air last week.
We've got to get to that.
And then there's no time for this.
There's a tweet where Dylan Leach this week, he said, how is it blatant cost-cutting and poor quality broadcast, commas, including Mark Howard's mistaking a six for a catch, be justified as the future? So he's gone on Twitter, right?
He hasn't got me.
That's you. Mark Howard here. Yeah.
The only reason I noticed it because you circled it and sent it to me, you idiot.
And then we had him on Sunday, and this is what he offered up.
Yeah, nice one, Leachy. Hey, I did hear a whisper that you gave Howie a clip on Friday night, and he is not happy.
Ooh.
Have you spoken to him since? Because he's flat.
Is he a bit flat, is he?
Well, flat as a biscuit.
I didn't give Howie a clip. I just gave him an opportunity to explain a situation that happened over summer.
Uh-huh. Felt like a clip.
Felt like a clip. Thank you.
Howie took it as a clip.
A valued member of what we do here at Ned's.
Coming from everywhere.
I don't think this is an area we should wander into.
Did you call a six that was... I missed it. So what happened? Because I know that...
I saw what happened live when his team... We've got it teed up. We'll come back to talk about it.
Because I saw what happened when his team didn't come up with Greg Norman. I'd hate to think what he said to the producers.
Happy to talk about this.
We will.
Well, we can play.
No, we're going to go to a break. We'll come back.
Answer to your question.
You've got to be careful.
Dylan Buckley is next week's guest on Sunday on the Howie Games. You'll hear the seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton exclusively on the Howie
shark.
Games.
So
there's
shark.
Nothing to worry about.
But you've lost top billing.
We had to put the shark back a week. We had to get Lewis in.
Mate.
I missed the memo when you lost top billing podcast.
I was only saying that to be nice to Dylan.
There it is. Only a matter of time.
Took 20 minutes, but we got there.
And you 100%
would just... Careful how you treat him on the way up.
That was horrible.
You chucked the wobbly.
Be careful how you treat him on the way up.
And there are 1.1 million reasons why this month. We're still going okay, Chief.
Keep an eye out
for Lewis Hamilton Sunday, Dylan Buckley next Thursday. And I guarantee you, the shark will be on in the week after that.
Get you on the way back down.
You want to talk about this cricket thing next?
Yeah. For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks
free. Nate's top five, not too far away on the huddle. Jacob Hopper, Chiefs quiz. Craig Kelly is wandering in, the Collingwood CEO. We're about to speak about Jamara Ugle-Hagan, but you were chuckling away and talking about cricket that you blokes
want to talk about. Just a Craig Kelly moment. Yeah, look, we're just keen to speak to him, given he was initially denied access to this great stadium today via security reasoning.
Rightfully so, trying to barge in without the proper accreditation.
I look forward to asking the CEO of Collingwood about that. He's had an incident on the way in, Howie. Now, I need to talk to you about, and I didn't catch up with this over the summer, but I know how protective Howie is because I saw it firsthand. He sprayed his production team on the podcast because there was an issue.
It's alarming to hear that.
Have we got the audio?
I think it's the new Richie Beno in cricket, obviously. Like, I mean, Richie had that mantle for a long time, and now Howie's come along and he's the host. I think everybody who turns on the cricket now thinks Mark Howard is the host of the cricket.
But Richie didn't abuse his staff.
Richie took about 300 test wickets and was an Australian captain as well. It was a slight point of difference.
Just before you go
down
this path. I
think Howie's very good at what he does, though.
I'm not bad about it. You're not Richie.
No. Just be careful.
No, he's not Richie.
Just be careful before you go down this smart-ass path.
Oh!
Who helped you out at Triple M Cricket?
I just said.
Who helped you out?
I just said you're a great host. You are the new Richie Benner.
Yeah, but I think there's a bug coming.
There's no bug.
He's trying to psych you out of this for a second time in 3 weeks, Nathan. Now you need to hold your ground.
Generations, Richie Benner.
Thank you.
You're hosting everything.
Thank you.
You're on the world coverage.
So I haven't heard this.
Paid in US dollars. Nate, it's amazing.
Stop sucking up, Nate.
Where's the negative? It's just nauseating.
I haven't heard this.
Duke's going to bring the negative in.
Let's have a listen.
It's a big surge. 12 from this over as well. Oh, he's picked that up. Sent it high away on the leg side. Another six. In fact, it's dropped short.
It's been taken. It's been caught.
Well, that's funny, is it?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's high. It's wide. It's 16 rows back. It's dropped short.
That's a six.
Howie, there's something wrong with your eyes. Is your head exploded?
Chief likes that one.
We've been concerned about this. Why? Because that is horrifically bad for you.
So you call...
horrifically bad.
Chief, you call 19,458 balls over the summer perfectly.
Yeah.
One goat.
Yeah, I hear. Look, a couple of things that struck me about that is you called it dropping short, but you didn't call it being caught. You had to... Gilly jumped in. Why was that? Well, were you reeling from the shock?
I can explain it if you actually want the technical detail of what happened. So we were...
You let him put your hand up and say, mate, I made a shot.
That's okay too. I'll tell you what. I did. And I take full responsibility. Well, but I just want people to understand what happened, Luke. So we were
not the blame game.
We were in the studio. So what you have to understand is we were taking the host feed from Channel 7.
Oh, he's turned this around.
He's made it a network issue.
Here we go.
So no, this is a good discussion. I like this. So
this is good.
Why would that be an issue, Howie, when you can look out the window with your own eyes?
Why would you have been at the... Well, that's not my decision. I'm just told to do as
I know that's not your decision. And I'm defensive of you because you were calling it off the screen, and I've said that previously.
So the Big Bash Games...
Why would you not be there? I don't understand. Is there a budgetary issue?
Mate, I just do as I'm told.
Well, you could have an insight into that. I mean, they've withdrawn the funding from Live and kicking your show as well.
So what happened to the Channel 7 broadcast, Howie?
So Channel 7 are the host broadcasters on this particular game.
Yep.
So unfortunately, their cameraman panned to the crowd.
I'm just telling you what happened. So I'm looking at Macca there at one of our channels. Who would have been working on that.
It's not a Joe the cameraman, is it?
No, that is exactly. It's Joe the cameraman.
And then after that, let me finish.
Gilly seemed to pick it up
just
all right.
Just let me finish.
It was sitting next to you.
Just let me finish.
That'd be caught, Mark, I think you said.
Just let me finish. And then as the cameraman panned to the crowd,
Joe,
the 7 graphic went up saying 6. So I obviously thought it was a 6.
This is a lot of finger pointing.
Sounds like Channel 7 have to carry a bit of this.
Gilly had the presence. I'll explain to you how it works. Just let me explain how it works. There's a large monitor in the studio with a wide camera of the field. Now, if I had been doing my job properly, I would have looked at that and noticed that it wasn't going for 6. Gilly noticed that because he's far better at this than I, and he realised it was going to be out. So I made a mistake.
Ricky Ponting on Channel 7 had no problems at all.
That came out perfectly.
So you got column A, column B, and sometimes you just have a shocker, and we accept that.
And I accept full responsibility. Yeah. I'm just trying to explain how these things can happen in a modern sports broadcast.
Speaking of the cricket.
Oh, what do you got now?
Have you been picked up by the next IPL?
Ooh. That's a yes. That pause is a yes, Jeff.
Have you been picked up by the next IPL?
You're going to twist this into a...
I'm asking a question. Yes or no?
Richie Benno.
Are you playing?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Does the fact that you're taking off mean you're going to miss some huddles?
Oh,
jeez.
Multiple.
Oh,
huddles.
This is good. Whoa. See, we haven't been told this.
Oh, wow.
Put himself away.
Yes. He is taking the money to go to the IPL and torching us.
US dollars.
This is good, Chief.
It sounds like a win-win, in all honesty.
How do you explain that, Mark?
I was privileged to be asked to go to the IPL for an extended period of time, and our fantastic boss at Fox Cricket.
So you can go to India, but you can't go to a local game in Australia.
He said, I think it's a good opportunity.
You want to call off the TV in Australia?
Triple M, shut up, Damien. And yes, just a short little stint in India, which I'm tremendously looking forward to.
Do you take the family?
Unfortunately, No, I'm not taking the family.
Which family?
Existing contracts. Oh, he didn't say that, did he?
Who said
he did. Existing contracts not high on the priority. Whichever one pays more, you take.
It's US dollars, Chief.
I asked the boss, and he thought it was a great opportunity for me.
That's one thing is to say it's an opportunity.
It'll be broadcast on Fox Cricket, the IPL.
What did the boss of Triple M Footy say? Yui.
And asked him. Yet.
Or you just did you ask him or did you tell you?
No, I asked him.
You seen Nathan?
How can you folks turn this into a negative? I've been asked to commentate on the big thing and talk the world.
You're torching us. Give me negatives. You're burning us.
Okay,
we're all in. You've got to give us a heads up.
I said Richie Beno. Okay, so if we're talking about torching, if we're going to continue down this path, we're off to do the gather round. Okay. In Adelaide.
Oh, he's fired up.
In 2 weeks' time.
Look at him, he's fired up.
We've got the 4:40 game.
Peacocking.
Right. Are you doing that game Friday huddle style?
Oh,
I had no idea.
We're fracturing.
You are.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
Yeah, apparently.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
You have organised.
Oh, have you burned his tube now? The front row is burning his ground.
You spat on me then.
I'm going to the IPL.
What are you talking about? I don't know nothing of what you're talking about.
Sandful. Sportsman's afternoon.
No.
Hang on a minute.
No.
You're not doing the Friday.
Hey, be very careful.
Is there an urn in it for
you? No, zero.
Absolutely there is.
Zero. This is the second time on my family.
Ross Bremer College.
We are fracturing in front of our eyes.
So are you doing the game with us in the gather round?
I am going back to the South Adelaide Football Club as an old alumni. I don't do fee paying. I go back and contribute to the places where I grow. And what am I not doing the game? I thought I was doing the same.
No, you're not.
I've been
taking
off at it.
It's at the same time.
Well, that's a win.
Did you not check before accepting this gig?
We normally do a game at 7:30, Chief.
There are
so
two
there's
games.
Never been a game
there's
that we've done at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Never dawned on you that it's the first gather round ever and it might be different?
6 months ago, Chief, I wasn't that far ahead of the narrative, but I'm quite happy that that's panned out.
So you're doing a cash and you're not doing the huddle. At least I'm going to
Is it envelope or through the books?
No cash.
So bottom line, Nate, is I'm a little concerned about the front row because they will drop us for anything.
How we got that animated, they actually spat on the Duke in the front row.
Sorry, I just can't handle the amount of live telling.
You call cricket off a TV in Australia, but you're prepared to go to India for the local T20 competition.
I do as
Brownie said, US dollars. We've got money grubbers in the front row.
We have.
The exchange rate, 64 cents.
I'm concerned that
$1.50 Aussie for the $1.
The pay version are not sending their talent demo to the ground. And I think that's a story you should follow.
I've been big on this for a number of weeks already.
I think they're having some trouble with their calculator over there and adding up numbers all round.
So hang on.
If you can't...
Just stop the music for a second.
You can't fund the broadcast.
Just stop
the
music.
Well, I don't know. If you can't get yourself over there, is there an accounting issue?
Do you think Channel 7 was at every Big Bash game this year? Because you're having a crack at Fox.
Oh, no, we're at every footy game. Absolutely, that's all I work. I don't work on the cricket, right. so I would have an opinion if I was there.
Know what you're talking about.
I don't exactly.
I think
what
they
I'm
are at the football now. Yeah. I'm not yet aware they've missed a football game.
No, I'm talking
about Foxtel's missing regularly.
We're talking about the broadcasters and the viewer at home being dudded by knowing commentators aren't at venue, and that to me is a big thing.
I'm talking about the cricket. And Seven and Fox have to do it because there are so many games and there are obviously budgetary issues for everybody.
So what about the footy then? Why don't you go to the footy?
The viewer's being dudded, Howie.
Why don't you go to the footy?
I don't think the viewer is being dudded.
No, but you fired up and then I asked you a legitimate question.
Chief, you're in charge of Fox
Sports.
Wait a minute. I have never seen a more just nervous look in my eye. That's
what's nothing to do with me, mate?
Let me just say this.
It's your network.
Damo, how is the viewer being dudded when every game's in 4K? And I can flick over to the free-to-air and it looks like the first chant of Man on the Moon. It's that crackly and grainy. I don't even know what I'm watching.
And you're saying
the viewer's being dudded.
Yeah. When the commentators you know are watching off a TV screen, the viewer is being dudded. But I will give you the broadcast quality, Chief.
So how many games would Seven have had to broadcast interstate so far this season?
Round three.
Yeah, I'll tell you. One.
Right. At least they were there.
But Fox obviously having to cover a lot.
You going down to Tassie on Sunday?
I don't know. I'm calling the game tomorrow. I'm not sure.
So what time's your flight to Tassie tomorrow?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Here we go.
Chief, now we know you are.
4K! 4K!
No outbreaks in play, Chief.
Cannot.
No outbreaks in play.
At least if you're watching with us, you can see the ground.
That's right.
And you're not sure what surface they're playing on.
I think we need to go to
play the music, Leroy. Get off your cone.
Look me in the eye and said he doesn't know if he's going to Tassie on Sunday.
It's US
tomorrow.
That is extraordinary.
Oh, we're losing it.
Oh, I'm just getting onto the IP. I'm happy to come for 8 weeks if I have to miss 8 of these shows.
I'm happy. work of you in Adelaide.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Bouncy back, beautifully taken, Bailey Dale. Liberatore's got it. Jamari Eaglehagen. Well, you can't write the script any better than this. Endured a tough week. An outstanding young leader in the game. Jamari Eaglehagen on the siren's got five goals. He's got five, and his teammates come from everywhere.
Oh, I did want to make a stance. I wanted to show my presence. Obviously, what happened last weekend was a pretty hard time. So just going out there and just proving the point that I'm just a boy trying to play some football, same as the other Indigenous boys. I think just being strong.
You two gentlemen were at the football last night. You calling it alongside Nath was doing special comments. It was an outstanding call. It was a huge moment, not in the game itself, but in the season, and probably will progress as we continue on down the line.
He's just an outstanding young man, Jamar, and when you get to see the effects that has on the families and his beautiful family and his four younger brothers there and his mum, and to be able to find a way after that week to perform is pretty special for a young guy. We know those young, forwards take some time, but for him to handle that, I reckon that's a game-changing moment for him. He's a pretty special young lad, Jamar. It was great.
And Dust, for it to come within weeks of the 30-year anniversary of Nicky Winmar's moment too, it just added to it, didn't it? It added to the story. There's going to be a ceremony of sorts at Victoria Park on April 17, and there'll be an acknowledgement through the round five period in Adelaide as part of Gather Round, I also believe. But yeah, and for Nicky Winmar today to make his own statement in endorsing obviously what Jamari Eaglehagen did, it was a nice moment in itself in that regard.
But that timing, is that not a sad thing? Is that not an indictment on all of us?
Yeah.
That 30 years later, the same things had to occur to create the attention and to address an issue that is still ongoing.
I think it's a massive point, Chief. But what has changed is the fact that the support is immediately there these days, at least. And Jamara couldn't have spoken more highly about that. And Nicky didn't get that 30 years ago for reasons that relate to the timing of it. And to see Luke Beveridge next to Jamari Eaglehagen last night and to see and hear Jamari Eaglehagen speak about it so passionately as well, I think that's the change, Chief. And again, you would have liked it at that moment in the previous week against in the St Kilda match for it to have been called out at that point in time, and it clearly wasn't.
The thing that stood out to me, Damo, was how he spoke about the club and how they dealt with it. Mm. So he had Monday away from the club, and then he said, Wednesday, I was looking forward going back to the club because I felt like there'd be comfort there for me. So all the players got around him, all the players rang him, all the players texted him, and he said that Luke Beveridge was great. But the big word he used was, I went back on Wednesday because I knew there'd be comfort there for me. So when you speak about your footy club like that, that's a good thing.
I was watching the news story with one of my children, and they said to me, so what happened? And I explained it, and out of the mouth of babes, they were like, well, why would someone do that?
Yeah.
And I couldn't explain it. So, where are we? Mm. Where are we that in 2023, some peanut thinks he can yell that over a fence?
And they haven't found that person, have they?
They haven't. No, and the added element to it was, and it was equally disturbing, was the online abuse as well, which comes, as we know, anonymously, which is the.
And Dame, I'm big on this, and I have said this a few times since last night to Brownie as well. That is, to me, a chance, an opportunity for us as an industry, because I'm made aware that you can find those very easily. The big tech companies will find the address and find out who they are. And we don't want to go and, someone could be disturbed themselves. So we've got to be careful.
They can find it, Duke, but they won't. That's the problem.
But if that happened on the street, Chief, if someone said what was said online to the street, you call the police and the police would do their job and they would make an arrest. You can't threaten people in that way. So the law is there actually to enable that to do it. The police choose not to, and perhaps as an industry we need to say, the AFL employ 25 full-time investigators or ex-police officers. Hmm. Not a bad use of that resource to just make accountable people who want to do this regularly, because it's just such an unaccountable space at the moment.
But you have to get agreement from those social platforms.
And they will do it, Chief. I understand 100%. No, that bridge has been crossed. I spoke to an expert in this space who's a worldwide expert. They have passed the legislation. It is all there. It is now just a matter of wanting to chase it down and asking the police to do that. And I think we should, as an industry. That would 100%. Be a positive 100%. Thing to do.
Yeah, I know it's a question that no one in this box can answer, but how can people think that is okay in 2023 to speak like that to someone over the fence at the football or in the community or via social media, Das?
Oh, it's disturbing, Howie, and it breaks your heart when you see the impact. If people actually were educated enough to understand what that does to people and families and the flight, what happened to Adam Goods? We missed a massive opportunity there as an industry. We all got that wrong, and we need to own that. And what a travesty that is for one of our greatest ever players. And so we've got to be educated. You've got to keep learning. And I think when you have a young Indigenous young lad like that stand up and show you what it means to him and to his family, if you don't take that and educate yourself for how he... So we're going nowhere.
What do you do if you're at the footy last night and someone yells something offensive over the fence? Say you're there with your young family and...
There's a phone number there, Howie. Report antisocial behaviour.
It jump is on broad, the phone
absolutely.
Number.
The number just flashes up right now. You can text that number and you call it out straight away.
Text the seat number as a starting point to Dust's point.
Yep. On a brighter note, I would just say how engaging and captivating was young Artie Jones being there last night and being a part of it.
What about when he
wasn't he
sprinted
exciting
off at the final siren? Yeah. So there's four players on the bench, three of them just sort of walked on. He sprinted all the way over and jumped over the top.
One of the most joyful human beings I've ever met in my life, Arthur Jones.
I like how he got approval from the match day official. Is it? Can I go on the ground? Yeah, just before he did.
Fareem Hot Water at McDonald's. Triple M rocks free.
Hot water needs replacing. Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. It's Australia's favourite water heater. You know who we're talking about. Built tough, rosy conditions and manufacturing right here in Australia for over 80 years. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a ream. On the topic of water, the rain has disappeared at the MCG. It's a leaden sky above, but it looks like it's clearing up, and always a ground that dries very quickly. Always nice, and it was disappointing during COVID that we would only be able to speak to the superstar footballers on the phone, yep. Nath, but it's great they're coming back in the studio. And the former Giant, now Tiger, Jacob Hopper, has wandered in. Mate, great to see you. How's the knee? Everything okay? Obviously, you're not playing tonight, which we're all disappointed about, and you are, no doubt, as well.
Yeah, super super flat. I couldn't get out there tonight, especially for a massive contest like this one. But the plan is just to, rest up this week and then be right to go rather than carrying something for a couple of weeks and feel a bit under 100%, so hopefully just miss this one and then good to go.
Tell us what it's like to come to a club like Richmond when you beat at the Giants, you played them in a massive final where 99% of the crowd was Richmond, and now you get to experience that in round one, round three against Collingwood.
Yeah, it's a strange feeling to be honest. I think to sort of experience that noise after you do something good rather than something bad is just kind of, I think the brain sort of plays a bit of tricks on you sometimes. But it's been an unreal feeling just to have that support and be a part of something that's so big and so passionate. I've loved every second of it, and obviously a game like tonight is something to experience, and I'm sure even talking about it with Tim as well, he's super pumped to be running out in front of an atmosphere like tonight.
Jacob, I know you don't have context around it because you haven't been there long enough. So a draw and a win against the team you're probably expected to beat. From within the Tigers camp, how do they feel like they're tracking?
Yeah, we feel like we're on the right track. Like, we feel like our footy is in really good tack. Barring the third quarter last week, we felt like we put in a really good performance. We really felt like we should have won round one. We feel like we did a lot of things right, but just going forward, we just made some really poor decisions and just didn't execute basic stuff going forward, unfortunately, and which cost us the game in the end. But we feel like we're in really good tack. We had a really big preseason, didn't play great in those preseason games, but we feel ready to just keep for Tim and I, it's new as well, learning everything. But we feel like we've got a really good picture of what we need to do and how we fit in the system as well.
So you mentioned that preseason. How different was pre-season coming to a Melbourne club, a big club like Richmond, compared to what you had experienced at the Giants?
Yeah, it was strange. Even a few open sessions there for pre-season felt like grand final week a little bit for me, which is no insult or whack at all. No. It was just sort of like, just to have the numbers that we had at an open training, it was honestly, I had to sort of settle myself down a little bit and say, no, this is still only this is still only January, not September. So just rein it in a little bit because I was getting too excited. So it was a real shock, but I loved it.
We're speaking with injured Tiger Jacob Hopper. Jacob, certain aura is attached to certain players. You played with one with a lot in Toby Green, and now you're playing with one with more in Dusty Martin. How have you found it now that you're in his camp and not playing against him?
Yeah, it's funny, Toby. Like, I love playing with Toby. I reckon I'll love playing against him as well. No doubt he'll try something dodgy. He's he's a great fella, but he's a dodgy operator. He's a rock star. People love him. People are fascinated by him. I got that huge amount of respect for him inside the four walls. He's unbelievable. Like, I think he's just someone you want to be around, someone you want to learn off, and someone that I've only played two games, but I've loved every second of it as well.
Jacob, there was discussion this week. I heard some talk around, you know, free agency is a disaster for the competition. You know, you're a super talented player. GWS would love to have you for another 10 years. But as you said, you get to pre-season training and you get to come out on the MCG. I mean, how do you feel about it? Was that draw to get to a club like Richmond such a powerful conversation it was too hard to offer up?
It is, to be honest. Like, there's a part of it that is really special about, that was really special about being at the Giants in terms of that creating your own history, starting something new, and you really can bond and create something, and the relationships you form in that are really special and unique. But then obviously when you sort of dream of playing AFL footy, you know, I did dream of playing in front of big crowds on the G. And I suppose, yeah, you don't obviously get many of those opportunities being in one of the northern states. So to sort of be able to give them the opportunity to do this and something that I've always dreamt of was definitely a part of it and a real lure. And but at the end of the day too, I do believe that it is about the building and the people in it, and to sort of get the opportunity to speak to a lot of the Richmond guys, I just felt like they were my type of people and it was too hard to resist.
You sound very measured and well-educated. What do you do away from football?
Oh, not enough, my family would say, to be honest. I probably needed to be exploring more opportunities, trying to do a bit more with my time. I have done a bit of commerce stuff and some psychology study as well, but I haven't really landed on anything.
Howie's always looking for people for his podcast, so there's staffing issues at the moment.
Yeah,
Nate's always trying to recruit people to his church, so you can come on the Howie Games or join the Lord. It's up to you, Jacob.
Yeah, I probably know to both of those, right?
I like it. I love how honest you are, Jacob. Love the way you spoke about Toby before. Very simple question. Weirdest guy at the Giants and the weirdest cat now you're down at Richmond?
It's a great question. Camden McIntosh, easily the weirdest cat here.
Different.
Oh, different. Like, love him. Great. Absolutely super critical to the club, but the strangest bloke I've ever come across. And I'm confident to say ever will come across, I reckon.
What is it about him that's a bit off centre?
Honestly, it'd be easier for me just to say to you, go spend a day with him.
Right.
Because it's hard to explain. He's busy, he's erratic, he's active, he's a great, great human. But I'd love to have a camera on him 24/7. It'd be good viewing.
I believe his mum's a truck driver over in Western Australia.
Yeah. He'd be able to do anything you asked of him. He's often on the tools working whenever he's not at the footy club. He's always thinking of different business ideas. I'm sure he'd be putting in pictures here if he was on the microphone right now as well. But and then at the Giants, None is, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Shane Mumford was always he was an interesting cat. I still don't know how he played his last 3 years of footy. Yeah. He had a leg that couldn't go past 90 degrees, and it was incredible to watch him go out there and still find a way.
Jacob, we appreciate your time. It's fantastic to see you playing for the Tigers. Be right next week to go?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Good to go.
Love the honesty, Howie.
Yeah,
refreshing.
Good on you.
Pleasure catching up. Thanks, Jacob.
And again, if you've got a spare Sunday, Nathan will take you under his wing and take you down to the Vegas. All right, good on you, Jacob. Appreciate your time, mate.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Craig Kelly, Collingwood CEO, not too far away. Triple M Friday huddle from the MCG. It's raining again. Collingwood are out on the ground. They're set to take on Richmond. Pumped, because last week we didn't get to call the game, but we had the pleasure of wandering up Canterbury Road and going to the Saint for dinner.
We did.
I would recommend it highly to anyone.
Great food.
Beautiful food.
Wonderful evening.
Steak was sublime.
Steak was very, very good.
Company was so-so, but all in all, it was good.
Damo wanted to kick right on. Damo wanted
Chief left early.
He was the last one standing. Mm. Yeah.
Who left early?
Chief.
You had someone to...
Hot topics.
Somewhere to go to, I
said. Hot topics.
That's all I said, Chief.
You've been warned off.
Hey, Chief.
You've been warned off.
Hot topics. There's been a lot of talk, Chief, about Nick Daicos. We've had the good fortune to see him play twice now. Pick one player in the competition to join your team. Any player. Who are you starting with, Chief?
Who's starting with me? Well, starting with you. I did have a look at things. Now,
thank you, Chief.
Because of where Hawthorn is... I'm thinking of the future. So I'm not going for experienced stars at the top of their game. I sat there and I thought, I'm always leaning towards key position players, but was there the right one there? Sam Taylor, 24, GWS, good player. Maxwell Ben-King, 22 years of age, would be very, very handy. Then you look at someone like a Sam Walsh, who's 22, and Andrew Brayshaw, who's 23. They would be good leaders. But then I thought, there's a bloke playing tonight that I'd probably be just as happy to have. And that would be Nick Daicos. At the tender age of 20, I reckon he's got a massive career ahead of him.
So you're picking...
Makes things happen.
Nick Daicos.
Makes things happen.
What, 20-odd games. Does?
Yep.
I like Chief's list, and you're thinking about the side that you love. Sam Walsh, to me, I got a vote on the Rising Star one year. I might have given Sam Walsh 4 votes and someone else 5. Connor Rosie from Port Adelaide, who I thought was outstanding. You know, they might have got that wrong in hindsight. I'd take Sam. He'd be the perfect fit for any club, Sam Walsh, but I'd take him.
Damo?
I'm still old school when it comes to this, and I just like knowing what you're going to get regardless. And I'm still going to have Marcus Bontempelli as the man I would take. Even though he's now been in the system for 9-10 seasons, I still think his best is still the best, and that's the man I'd take.
I'm going for the now too, Howard. So I'm going to go Toby Green. Oh, I think he's just about the best player to watch in the competition. He turns the game. He's got players in the palm of his hand. The players who play with him love him. And after all the bad things he's done, they still go and make him captain, which says a lot about how they think about him. Obviously, he needs to clean that part of his lifestyle up, and he will. But for me, Toby Green, best player in the game.
Can't go wrong with any of them.
You?
Nick Daicos. Because I've seen him play, and he's just... unbelievable, but just in the small dealings when you're out in the ground, you say good day. He just him and his brother,
lovely family,
lovely, respectful customers. So I'm going. Nick
Josh is a ripper too.
Yes. Now, put out a podcast last week with Cam Smith, who joined Live Golf for reportedly $100 million, and
more. I think.
Well, possibly more. And I was talking on the podcast saying to him, good luck to you, well done." Shaping up golf, changing things. I'm all about the athletes getting bang for buck. I got a lot of negativity on social media, a lot about Live Golf. Made me think. So I wanted to get the mood of the room. Live Golf, yes or no? Nath?
Not a massive golfer myself, Howard, but I can't believe that Tiger Woods knocked back $1 billion to be in it. A billion, you can do a lot of things with a billion.
Mm. You've already got a billion. You don't need it.
Yeah, but you only need $10 million to live the rest of your life. You could give the rest away or, you know, promote something that's not
philanthropic of him, isn't it?
About yourself.
Good on you, Nath.
You could put it to the
give
church.
It to the Lord.
Answer your question.
Comes back tenfold.
Are you a yes on a Live Golf or no?
Yeah, I think to shake it up, I like it. I think that it's good to have an option to the PGA.
Yeah, look, the moralistic outlook on it, Howie, that's the one people go to first, isn't it?
Do we pick and choose that?
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to.
Right.
I defy anyone to have said no and even make it relative. Don't make it 100 mil, make it 1 mil. I defy anyone to say no to that money when all you have to do is sign on the bottom line and play the same sport or continue the same professional pursuit you've got and receive the cash to do so. So, and the pick and choose component, that's where I'm coming at it from now. So initially I was a little bit hesitant to say yes on this topic when it first emerged publicly in a big way 6-12 months ago. Now I say yes.
Were you watching the Grand Prix at Albert Park?
Because week? We pick and choose.
It was in Saudi Arabia last week.
There you Grand go. Prix. Mm. Yep.
Check.
For me, it reminds me a lot of World Series cricket. Mm. It's the revolution that the game needed to have. The game came out better. The two will get back together. The PGA Tour and LIV will get back together again. And they're just challenging conventional thinking, talking about the length of tournaments, how many tournaments you're going to play a year, all those sorts of things.
You're more worldly than me, aren't you? And you're more educated in this space. Do you have an issue with the moral side of it?
No, purely and simply because of what Howie said.
Yeah.
There are a dozen other sports that are playing events there that no one cares about. But all of a sudden, this has come up and they're saying, oh, you can't take it because of their treatment of women.
Yep. All on board for LIV Golf.
But all these other sports.
So how do you hold the Olympics without, you know, the Russians are allowed to compete
so
after
you're
110%, and every golfer in the world should be. Suddenly the PGA's found some money. Suddenly the golf players are deciding, oh, we actually should probably play together more often.
Yep.
Good thing for everyone.
I've got plenty more hot topics, but the Collingwood CEO has wandered
into
the box.
He's allowed in.
Should we really? Set the microphone
yeah.
on him straight away? We probably should.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised to see him. Now.
Yeah, he might be early, but are you ready to do this now, Craig?
I'm on time. I'm always talking.
Okay, well, put the headset
look
on.
Look at the presence.
And away
look
we go. We now welcome to the box. We'll get back to hot topics. The new Collingwood CEO.
Is Dunn still talking about golf?
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Hello, Craig.
Hello, Howie.
Hey,
hi, boys.
Great to
Hello,
see you.
Hello, Ned.
How are you, buddy?
Well, we can do the hot topics continuing with you when you're here. But, mate, great to see you. A very successful business around town, managed sporting events, social events. You had it made. Your beautiful family, three wonderful boys, a fantastic wife. And then you take this new step in your career. Why Collingwood CEO? And congratulations on the job.
Thank you. It's very humbling, Howie. It's been amazing getting back into a club environment, walking in the door, and you just go, wow, that's what it's about. It's very different from running a business. And if you're not excited turning up to work in a football club, an elite football club that they are now, compared to when we played Bung, it was it's a very different place, mate. You wouldn't get through there at the moment, mate. You would not survive.
I want to know.
It is amazing. And if you don't want to work in, if you're working in the club and you don't like it, then please get out because they are amazing joints. A lot of fun.
What's it going to do to your golf game? Yeah, I mean, you would practice two or three times. Yes, we play two or three times a week.
It'd be good if you'd done that because you are horrendous.
You, so what
for
are you
a guy
do?
Of your ability,
what's going to happen?
It's as Jeff Brown said, you won't be playing any golf, and I haven't been playing any golf. And handicap's going out quite quickly.
Now, there's some breaking news.
Yes, Dust, I've heard about this.
Did you have some issue finding your way into the MCG?
What happened, Ned? Because we got told that you were denied entry, and the head of security had to come down. Now, my mind goes to you've caused this, but I've been told reliably you actually didn't. Strangely enough,
no, I was walking to the ground with Paul Tundam and his wife and a couple others, and there was some security guys, not the guys on the gate, a bit further out.
Did you have your pass?
I did have my AAA pass, which I found out these things are really good. But that bloke didn't really care about the AAA pass. I said, mate, we just got to get through. We've got to get to the lunch. No, you'll wait till everyone. I said, mate, we've got to get through. And then I might have said, boys, really? Have a look at the pass. We need to get through. And they circled me, five of them. I was a bit concerned then. Mate.
Nothing you haven't experienced before, Ned.
Did you handle the situation any differently as CEO as you would have possibly 6 months ago?
Oh, I sort of almost went to 6 months ago, and I had to pull myself back. Luckily, the lovely Nadine was there, and she knew a few of them, and then the phone call was made, and they did.
Did you say, don't you know who I am? Did you say that? Because I know you would have said that. I'm the most important person you've ever met.
That might have been the situation. You will not be getting in the ground today, and I said, yeah, good luck with that project, mate.
Oh, wow. Speaking of the Collingwood CEO, Craig Kelly, I've got to tell you a story about this man who's done a lot for quite a few years in the room.
There's a few stories around.
he kindly offered to take me and my young bloke, Mac, who's obsessed with fishing.
He's a good fisherman.
And so he says, you've got to be ready at 6 o'clock a.m. Don't be late. So I wake Maco up. We've got to have the sandwiches. We go down to the back of the Bowen Heads River, and Ned rolls up with what I can only describe as the frickin' Queen Mary. It was almost too big for the Barwon River, and Mac's eyes are bulging out of his head. So to get from the Barwon River to the ocean, you need to go under the Barwon Heads Bridge. Now, we approach the bridge, and it's blatantly obvious with the level of the tide that Ned's boat is too big to get under the bridge. At which point he starts abusing my 10-year-old for not giving him the right tide time. And we had to sit and wait for 55 minutes for the tide to drop so the boat of its size could go out under the bridge.
Yes, yes, that was a true story. And then you cannot catch.
Get a bite.
You might be able to surf, but you are useless at fishing.
So you'll be doing less fishing as well.
Less fishing.
I know. Hey, every now and then people come along in this sport of ours and they light it up. There's a guy by the name of Craig McRae that's done just that. He's a breath of fresh air. No one can get over how enjoyable Collingwood are to watch. They're the favourite team for everyone to watch play.
Yeah.
It must be great having him around the club and whoever made the decision, wow.
Yeah, and Wrighty, well, you know, you've spent a lot of time with Graham Wright. And one thing he's very good at, Jace, is character of people and picking people. And he did an outstanding job with the support of the board. And it's not just Fly. You know how hard it is, the caper.
Yeah.
So Leper, Bolts, Skippy, all those guys, and putting in the environment. Claire's, who used to be at Hawthorn at Melbourne, she's now at the club. It's all about getting everyone lined up. Darcy, you know how hard it is. Get the board lined up, get the right board. Jeff and the board are outstanding. The decision they did, what Jeff made with the Port Adelaide jumper the other day, just common sense. Like, let's get going. It's fantastic. So that starts to permeate through the joint. And also, Fly's the same. He said, like, Daisy Pierce, I promise you, is coming into our rooms whenever she wants. We're not going to, like, really, please, give me a spell.
You didn't get a call from Ed when Jeff made that decision about
it? I said, ring Brown.
Hey, Ned, we've marvelled at the rise of this man here who you used to manage. And I said to him before,
I managed you for a while, then you left me, and then Darce left me. And
I never left, mate. Our generation's Richie Benno. We always talk about his deal to go to Fox Cricket.
Like, Nathan, six by
$600,000 a year is what it was reported. You're the man who did the deal.
Why are you selling him so short?
So, yeah, well, that's what we want to ask you. You're here. We want to get to the bottom of it.
We wouldn't never talk about contracts and disclose those things.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No, we would. I know what he's like. Brownie, he wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't.
I need to talk. That's the sort of, I've changed the way. I don't talk like that anymore.
Hey, Craig, bring it back to Collingwood for a moment. Jeremy Howe, so courageous in that heart of the MCG in round one.
Were you here for that?
Yeah, we were.
He went so high. It was like just horrible seeing the arm.
So obviously fractured arm. Setback, I believe, with the infection.
Yeah, I think they had to go back in a little infection because there was a bit of dirt in there and grass, and they tried to clean it up. And I think straight away he felt a bit of heat in it, and the best thing to do is get it on the antibiotics, tidy it up. So that won't set him back that much.
And all alarming elements of that have all been dealt with.
It's fine. It's fine.
Ned, because you were kind enough to arrive a bit early, we're going to take a break now.
Hopefully
you can stick around.
Yeah, love to. Whatever you want.
We're speaking to the Collingwood CEO, Craig Kelly, here at the MCG.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
MCG's your venue. Unfortunately, there's still rain around. You might have got 90,000 here. Hopefully, people still come to the footy. Collingwood versus Richmond, traditional rivals. We've got the Collingwood CEO, Craig Kelly, here, and we've just gained an insight into Damo and how he goes at AFL.com.au because he's just turned to Ned in the ad break and said, so, do you have to go in there every day?
No, I said, do you go in there every day?
What, do you think he's got a choice. A couple of days a week, Damo?
Have you not noticed what's happened in the past 2 years, Howie? People don't go into the office.
Well, people with real jobs do, Damien.
He's the CEO, Damo.
He's a man in charge.
And Darce, a lot of CEOs don't these days.
Oh, please, not on our watch. You're kidding. You don't go into work. What do you do?
I'm very remote.
We were just talking, Ned. We have a thing called Hot Topics, and I said to the boys, if you could choose one player in the comp now to come to your club, who would it be? And there's five of us in the box. Three of us went with Nick Dacos. What a player, but what a story it is that the father's son for a football club and the connection to the Collingwood fans, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see.
And amazing two gentlemen. Yeah, I played a lot of footy with Dakes, and Dakes is a ripper. But Colleen has a lot to do with the fact that, and so has Peter. Like, it's just an absolute blessing to have them around the club. It's a great thing to ask about, being able to do that father-son thing, and we're fortunate to be part of it. But see, Dakes' kids doing what they're doing, and it's unbelievable how they kick the ball and on the outside of the foot. And it's just so much like Peter when he used to do those things. And we'd sit back there as players going, what the hell did he just do? So it's amazing. And they are ripping kids. They come in, they say hello to everyone. They're just gentlemen. So it's awesome.
Darcy Moore's the captain, and it's brilliant. You've got Jake and Will playing at Collingwood. But how do you find it's just nerve wracking, unenjoyable. How do you go with it?
I'm no good. So I've explained to the netball team because they're wonderful athletes, and I said, the only problem is I won't get to see all your netball games because it clashes a lot with the Essendon games. And I said, I'm going to make family first and go and see Jake. But I'm hopeless to ask when I'm there. You just watch them. And you actually go, someone said, oh, such and such play well. I said, oh, sorry, I just watched Jake.
So you were still going to see Jake's games?
Yeah. I went down the rooms after, because obviously.
You're out in the rooms?
Well, yeah, I just walked in.
Domo wants you banned, so he doesn't think that's a good thing.
I had Brad, obviously, first win for Essendon, and seeing Jake, and also Dave Burham's been a friend of ours for a long while, so it was nice. It was good. They've got some stuff happening out there, a bit better.
And you've completely divested all interests from the former life, former job?
I was wondering when that question would come. Absolutely, Damon.
Of course you have.
So the only thing we do, unless a TLA talent asks me a question in a press conference, I won't be answering. No, mate, we're out. So I've done. It's been a great people, great journey, and it's been fun.
What happened with you and Nath? Why did Nath leave the stable?
Nathan
Brown.
He hasn't moved on.
That might be the answer right there. Who was he? That might have had something to do with
Nathan
it.
Nathan Brown, no, Nathan no. Buckley, mate.
No, no.
Yes, Nathan.
Yeah, man. Did he leave you, or did you think he wasn't going the right direction?
He went out to see the boys. It was fine.
And poor old Ned, he's had to divert his interests out of the business that he sold six times. So we feel for him that he's finally had to exit.
Now, Ned, with everything flying at Collingwood at the moment, there must be some issues that you're addressing. What are the priorities for the club moving forward, mate, that perhaps we don't know about?
You do know how difficult it is to do the gig. I asked Fly and Roddy this the other day. I said, if you got offered a job at a club tomorrow, what would you be saying are the things you'd want to make sure that were right? So Roddy said straight away, salary cap. Fly said making sure he's got the right coaches and obviously players. For me, I said if I had to do the footy department and sort that out as well as the actual get the other side of the business really humming along, it's too big a job. They're just too big now, Bung. They're just too hard. So I'll say we've got wonderful people, we've got some great things happening, but I'd say we're chugging along at about a 4 over our side of the business, and footy's around about a 6 or 7, and there's still a lot of things that Roddy's got to work through with Claire and those guys and Fly and the team. So I would think that, we've got a lot of upside, mate, and it's really exciting. We've got some wonderful people, like I said, and there's some really good alignment happening. There's some direction. It's really, I'm excited, and it also should be scary for a few other clubs, because if we get going both sides, away we go.
A little bit of a warning shot for everyone. You know the industry upside down, and you know everyone in it, and you've got relationships everywhere, but CEO of, it's a big organisation now with 4 teams and the netball team and the AFLW and the VF. So has there been something you've stepped into and gone, wow, I'm out, this is causing me some challenge, Ned? Has there been...
It's a really good question, Darce. Really good question. Because I think in life with footy or running a business, it's what you say no to, it's rather than what you say yes to. It's really easy to say yes all the time. And I haven't got to the no point yet. I reckon there's another 2 or 3 months of getting... I mean, I've been there 4 weeks, mate. It's been a fair on whirlwind with Ginevan into MCG, New Deal, with bang, bang, bang. So I would like to answer that question, mate, as we get in towards the back end of the year, because at the moment I haven't had enough time to make that call.
Jordan Dugowie, probably the most talked about player at Collingwood all last year. He seems to be settled in the off-season. His first 2 weeks have been great. The newspaper articles about him, the way he speaks, he seems like he's grown up a bit as the penny dropped.
Oh, yeah, mate, this is the great thing about our game. Like everyone, Ginevan and there's, from stories all through our competition for so many years, footy clubs genuinely get guys who might be a little bit that way and a little bit loose, and you bring them into this thing and you turn them into, at the end of it, nearly 9 times out of 10, better people. They actually more balanced in life, they know more things, and we're on that journey with to go in all of them. He's an awesome man. His family, a loving fly. There's a really good connection there. The joint's good for him, and he does his thing. And as Craig always says, he just says, they're grown men. Some of them are younger. Let them make mistakes and let's support them. But if they keep making mistakes, then we've got an issue. So anyone who starts potting AFL and clubs, I mean, they're kidding themselves because we do a really good job.
I thought it was Ginnivan, not Ginnivan.
Oh, sorry, Ginnivan.
Yeah, just handed no, your players. I couldn't resist. I know.
When he hit me in the back of the head all the time,
please.
Exactly how you
please. Got. So big picture, how long would you envisage yourself in this role?
That's a geez. You two have got that end of the room. Got some good questions. I've said to Brownie, we've locked in for 3 years.
Yep.
I think in life, in anything, it's a 5-year cycle. So the reality is, if they want to get rid of me, they'll just tap me on the shoulder. But I'd like to think 3 into 5, and we then get a position where we've got the right person coming underneath. So beautiful. As you've done, mate, you've got to have succession plans. You can't be wanting to hang around and not get a young person coming.
Did you pinch Jason?
I did pinch Jason here on a Friday night, and for the first half, didn't kick a goal. Then, and he never talked, never ever said.
Even when you were pinching him?
No, we're pinching him. No, he was talking. Didn't. I think kicked one goal, got a really easy free kick from the umpires. Then, after half time, came out, didn't say a word, and I'm still pinching. He kicked 6. Almost won the game in the last kick of the day. Remember that?
But I only kicked 3 or 4 on the night.
Oh, did you?
And I got really annoyed with you because that was shit by you.
Yeah, I know.
And I was trying to walk around the goalpost and keep you on the other side. And the goal umpires just go, oh, look at this. The field umpires were doing nothing and they're letting this big blockhead do whatever he bloody liked.
Was he managing you then?
No, if I'd get managed by him. All he did was club me for 10 years.
Serious. Craig Gully, the Collingwood CEO.
Get rid of him, Howie.
Hey, Ned, everyone in here is close with Howie, but you're the only one that got an invite to his wedding. Oh, so we thought we'd get amazing to his wedding after he'd been going out for about 18 years.
Which wedding was
Damien.
Damien.
Wow. His only wedding. His only wedding.
It was
a good day.
It was
a long time coming.
Tyler, well, it says a bit about you lot, really.
Correct. I invited Tunners and he didn't turn up.
Because he's doing those quality documentaries he does with the fire agents. Oh, that's good. That's a good show. You've got to watch that.
Oh, he's turned up.
Wow.
Is that because you weren't asked to be on it?
Oh, we were asked to be on it. I said, what would we want to do that for? Tommy Vittorio's got, mate. Tommy on TV is not a good look either.
What do you think of those agents? Robbie D'Orazio and Paul Connors.
Paul with his pink shirt on. I've got to wear my pink shirt. I said, you haven't got your pink shirt on today. No deals happening today, puppy.
Colin Young.
You've got to get in the bathtub and pump some weights, that lad.
Robbie D'Orazio?
Leave it there. Don't fall in.
He's going to buy it.
I've got Roddy loves him. We've got great respect for all agents because they've got really good players.
You joined us halfway through Hot Topics, Ned. So if you stick around and answer these as you please, we're halfway through. We'll continue on. Barack Obama, gents, was charging, I think, $500 a head to listen to the former president speak, which I'm sure was outstanding. We'll start with you, Damo. Who would you pay $500 to watch speak?
I would actually pay the man who snubbed you during the week, Greg Norman.
Greg Norman.
Greg Norman would be the one I'd want to. So okay. I probably can listen to him for no money on your podcast next week if he bothers to ring in.
That's the plan. Darcy, who are you paying for?
I'd be happy to hear the former president for $500. I would have gone to that.
John Lydon for me.
Sorry?
John Lydon.
What was John about?
A.K.A. Johnny Rotten.
Oh.
Lead singer of the Sex Pistols. The British punk rock scene. He's 67 now. Imagine the stories that he'd tell you. I mean, they had the bassist Sid Vicious died when he was 21, suspicious circumstances and all those sorts of things. Nicknamed Rotten because of his oral hygiene, his teeth turned
green.
So just imagine the life that they lived at that time. That would be fascinating to listen to.
That says a lot about Bung, doesn't it?
Tell me that wouldn't be interesting.
No, it would be.
There's a guy out of the States called Eric Thomas who's a motivational speaker, Howie. I'm going to go.
Really?
He is. He's got his own church.
Oh my goodness.
Can I leave now?
No, just give it. Who would you leave after this one?
Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy.
After watching him on the Netflix show,
full swing.
Awesome. Sitting in a room with him and just talking to him would be amazing. What an excellent man.
Yeah. Hey, as a businessman, you missed the early one, then you can walk out the door. Live golf, yes or no?
Oh, it's absolute yes, because it'll get the other joint sorted out, because they're just dictators telling them. And it's called World Golf, not a USA Golf. So let's get it around the world.
Love it, mate. Okay. Great to see you.
Hey, guys.
Go well.
Go
well.
Great. Love your work.
Great Kelly here. Well, we've got a couple more hot topics while we're here. We should might as well push on. Chief, one thing you would change about Melbourne?
Traffic.
Traffic.
Annoys the crap out of me. I struggle with the traffic.
Is it at its worst at the moment?
Oh, mate, it's bad. It's really bad. And it can happen at any time of day. That's the frustrating thing. It's not peak hour traffic. It's always peak hour in certain places.
Dark. I've given this one some thought. Yep. We've become the most regulated, permit, red tape. Hmm. If you want to try and our mate who a couple of years ago, people left some rubbish on St Kilda Beach, Howie. So you cannot now have a – you can't take the beautiful Erica for a glass of wine and a picnic down there. So what we do, we ban everything rather than punish the couple of 100 idiots. You go to London, you sit in a bar and you walk out the door and you happen to wander across the road with your drink in hand and the guy says, welcome. He says, I'll take your beer back to you to the other place. You get tasered in Melbourne if you walked out of a restaurant and had a glass
in your
hand.
Mark Webber called us a nanny state 12
years
ago.
And he was ahead of his time.
I like it.
We need to sort it out.
Damo?
Yeah, I'm with Chief. I thought a few of us might come with the traffic concept here, but I've got a suggestion on this space to actually have a traffic commissioner to actually oversee roadworks, so you can't just have carte blanche to hold a traffic sign. I'm not having a go at the people who hold those signs.
Okay.
Sounds like you are.
No, it's the companies that think they can just set up anywhere and tell people they can hold those
traffic
signs.
Traffic seems to be a concurrent theme, Nate.
Because I live in Williamstown, Howard, it's just a little sort of point where nobody else really has access unless you go in there. So I'd like to build a program where Williamstown's only access on the weekends via a permit, so you actually have to apply to come in. The amount of lunatics that come in on the weekend, Duke, is just not on. So I just feel like we need to keep Williamstown safe.
You're a bogan from Bendigo and you want permits into a suburb in Melbourne now.
Absolutely.
Adas, Donald Trump is about to be indicted by a grand jury for paying alleged hush money to Stormy Daniels in 2016. Of all the things he's been accused of, this is apparently what he's going to be indicted for.
So this is my point. You can stand at the end of the Capitol, cite a riot on that Capitol, encourage them to murder the vice president, which they would have done had he been in his chair. Six people die in that insurrection.
Which he encouraged.
And he sat there on TV as the president with popcorn and watched it happen and didn't do anything about it. So do you
think he will be found guilty of this particular charge?
No idea, but he should be in jail for the other one.
Okay, Chief? This is your area.
I have no idea whether he'll be found guilty or not, but one thing I do know is he will not, even if he's found guilty, he won't spend a day in jail. Won't happen.
Probably right.
Look, between money and they'll say health and all sorts of things, no way no one is
spending
a day. They're
after him, though, Chief. They're after him.
This, I think, is how the getting Al Capone on tax avoidance. I think this is what they've done on this, potentially. Just this to get him on something.
This will be good for him, I reckon. I think he'll turn this into... The system's corrupt and this is fake news and
it's the Democrat.
He'll milk this. He'll raise funds off it.
Well, he's going to storm into the Manhattan courthouse on Monday
and make a movie scene.
The case is flimsy at best, Howard. So you get things he's getting. I think the hush money wasn't paid to advance his political ambitions. I thought it was paid so his wife wouldn't find out that he had been...
Got some experience?
I haven't. But that's what I thought. The whole campaign... by the New York District Attorney, the Alvin Bragg. He's not related to Billy Bragg, obviously, Chief. But he ran to lay charges on Trump. So I don't think that is. So I think the charge they'll get him on, though, Duke.
Yes.
I've done my research.
Oh, you've done your research.
Here we go.
He's Googled it.
A phone call he made, the Georgia Secretary of State, asking him to find 11,000 votes.
Oh.
And here's the state of play on that, Howard.
I just want to find 11,780 votes. I think you have to say that you're going to re-examine it. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, that you've recalculated.
Irrefutable proof of a president pressuring and threatening an official of his own party to get him to rescind a state's lawful, certified vote count and fabricate another in its place.
That's all I get him on the hip. They won't get him on the other one.
What was that about?
I'm not sure. That was bad.
It sounds like
didn't hear any threats.
It sounds like an impersonator, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's
correct.
Actually.
What about your other question, Harry?
Oh, favourite F1 driver of all time.
Have we not got time?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we got time. Favourite F1 driver of all time. Oh, how long's till the timeout? We've got 15 seconds. Go, give it to me.
No, I'm not doing it in 15 seconds.
Ayrton Senna.
Nicky Lauda.
Mick Schumacher.
Lewis Hamilton.
James Hunt.
Oh.
He was a rock star.
Footy next. McDonald's Ream Hot Water. Triple M. Rocks Footy.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M. Rocks Footy.